Beautiful day to praise God. It's a beautiful day outside, a beautiful day here inside as well. This morning we will be observing the Lord's Supper. It is prepared for us, and so if you are at home, this would be a good opportunity to get the bread and the wine or juice that you have prepared ahead of time. As we worship together, we open with these beautiful words from Colossians chapter 1. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood on the cross. Will you stand, please, rise in body or spirit, whether you're here or at home, and let's worship our triune God.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice with us and sing. Alleluia, alleluia. O burning sun with God. Listen to the responsive reading in Psalm 148. Praise for God's universal glory. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his peoples. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Let's be still for just a moment together and adore our Creator for the gift of who he is to us and the gift of all he has made. God, your greatness is so considerable, we'd need a cosmic chorus to proclaim it. If every vocalist in heaven was invited, the sun, moon, Big Dipper, and all the angels and every singer on earth, humpback whales, the Rockies, apple trees, mice, eagles, kings, presidents, boys and girls, men and women, we would still be powerless to truly proclaim the praise you deserve. That very inadequacy to offer you the praise you deserve reminds us of our broken relationship with you. Because we have sinned against you, even our worship fails to be what it could. We hesitate to take up our role of being creative for your glory. Help us, Lord, not to shortchange you with our praise as our creator, and not to shortchange the creativity you've given us with the Holy Spirit's inspiration. In Jesus' name and for your kingdom's sake, amen. The words of assurance are, accept God's gift of forgiveness and peace. Let's live in the warmth of God's embrace.
It's now my pleasure to continue this worship by opening up the word together. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you that we may open your word together. We ask that the meditation be pleasing to you, for we rejoice in you, Lord. Amen. Well, please open your Bibles to Psalm 104. It's page 486 in the black pew Bibles that are in front of you. 486, Psalm 104. And this psalm is one of many in the Bible on the subject of creation, a reflection on creation. And aside from the original Genesis account, we find significant reflections on creation in Psalms 8 and 19, 33, 139, and in the book of the wisdom books of Job and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, in many chapters in Isaiah, and in Paul's epistles of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Colossians, as we read earlier, and then again in Hebrews, 2nd Peter, and of course, the last chapters of Revelation. All significant reflections on creation. And this poem, this beautiful Psalm 104, takes a very significant place in that important list of reflections. Because it leads us to praise, doesn't it? It's just such a joyous, happy psalm. We're going to read it together in just a moment. And it's an invitation to celebrate our beautiful, creative God. And that's really what we intend to do in this message this morning, is to continue our worship in an attitude of celebration. Then in 2 weeks, we're going to revisit this theme when we're going to look at ourselves as image bearers of God, creative beings created in God's creative image. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Instead of addressing God as creator, Psalm 104 looks at the marvels of what God has created, which cause the writer and the reader, us together, to join in wonder and direct praise back to God. And we join in that praise now. And we say with the psalmist, oh Lord my God, you are very great. So we're going to read the psalm together. We're going to have another responsive reading now. Peter will put it on the screen for you. And what I've done is at the end of each section, I've included a chorus of praise with words taken from the psalm. Let's read it together now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. I will read this part. I'm sorry, and I'll give you the response to read. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. O Lord my God, you are very great. How manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Part 2, the earth and the waters. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed them. You set a boundary that they may not pass so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. O Lord, my God, you are very great. How manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the conies. O Lord, my God, you are very great. How manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Part 4, Night and Day. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to their work and to their labor until the evening. O Lord, my God, you are very great. How manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The sea and its creatures, part 5. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. O Lord, my God, you are very great. How manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Part 6, God, the preserver of life. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. O Lord, my God, you are very great. How manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Part 7. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the glory of the Lord endure forever, and may the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. And let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, this psalm is not hard to understand. The key words are you and your. The writer is one who knows God well enough to personally address him. God is given credit for all the wonders that we see around us, not just because they exist, but because of what God does in them. So look at the words in verses 1 through 30, describing the wonders God has done. You stretch out, you set, you make, you ride, you hide, you cover, you rebuke, you thunder, you appoint, you water, you cause, you form, you hide, you give, you take away. You send forth, you renew. God is not that distant God of the Epicureans that we mentioned last week, or of the deists, or of people today who perceive that, well, maybe God exists, but he's unknowable. Rather, God in this psalm is very knowable, and because he's active in his creation, taking pride and pleasure and involvement in it. Look again at this beautiful picture, which we showed in the reading. This is one that some of you know. It's a painting by our friend and brother Dirk. What do you see in it? The sun and the moon are very visible. And at the bottom, although it's a little dark in our rendering of it, there's a sea creature, perhaps, reminiscent of Leviathan in the psalm at the bottom. But the really beautiful thing that grabs you in this picture is the energy. The seen as light streaking across the picture and forming a cathedral of praise to the Creator. It's a powerful, beautiful picture. And as soon as Dirk showed me that picture, I thought of Bruce Colburn's 1979 song, which I know some of you still remember, Creation Dream. This is the second verse. You were dancing. I saw you dancing, throwing your arms toward the sky. Fingers opening like flares, stars shooting everywhere. Lines of power bursting outward along the channels of your song. Mercury waves flashed under your feet, shots of silver in the shell pink dawn. Well, thank you, Dirk, for sharing this picture with us and for all who shared images to use this morning. Well, the point of artistry of creation, like the artistry of this psalm, is to cause praise to go to the Creator, and of course, not to the created. We all know someone for whom nature itself is the object of praise, is the end in itself. They relish in nature, but they don't know how to allow it to take them to the Creator. Nature itself has become the object of their adoration. This is not how we are taught, though, as Christians. Rather, whenever we take in a vista from a granite ledge or observe the starry expanse of the night sky or examine a flower on a houseplant or marvel at the personality of a pet or even wonder about the willpower of an ant, we are to be redirected in praise to the one who made it, to the Creator who put his own stamp of beauty on what we are observing. It is one way to join in what another psalmist wrote, to behold the beauty of the Lord. So I would ask you, when have you recently observed the beauty of the Lord? Was it in a snowy field which stretched white to the horizon? Was it a frozen river with its artistry of colors and contours? Was it in the crystalline form of the ice that formed on the inside of your window on these cold nights recently? Was it in the form of a bird in flight, or the industriousness of the squirrels out gathering their food in the deep snow? And when you saw the beauty of the Lord, did it cause you to praise the Creator, who is beauty? Well, in verses 2-9 of the psalm, the writer is clearly overwhelmed next by God's creative power. As we put on a garment, so God wraps himself in light. So as we know how to pitch a tent, God stretches out the entire heavens, and then he builds his house spanning the seas. He rides the clouds. He sends his messages in the spirit winds. He sets up the mountains, forms the coastlines, and builds the seas. He cycles the water, and in doing so provides majestic waterfalls, lush forests, refreshing streams, and verdant valleys. Well, when have you recently seen the creative power of the Lord? Was it in that blizzard we had in January that covered so much of our continent, the eastern part of our continent, in deep snow? Was it in the windstorm this winter that blew the clouds rushing past like a film on Fast Forward? Have you gone recently to watch the waves pound in at the shore with all their force? Or perhaps it was in the quiet confidence that gravity is keeping your feet securely on the ground, on this earth that God has set on its foundations, and it can never be shaken. And when you saw or felt or experienced the power of the Lord, did you let it take you to the praise of the Creator, who is powerful? It is the wisdom of men to search out God's works and to set their minds wholly on them. And God has so ordained the world to be like a theater upon which to behold his goodness, said John Calvin. And like Calvin, the writer of Psalm 104 was overwhelmed by the goodness of God. God provides for his creatures by means of his creation: grass for cattle, plants for humans, wine for pleasure, oil for radiance, bread for strength, water for trees, trees for nests, nests for birds, mountains for goats, and rock piles for conies. Okay, I had to look up conies. They're rabbits. Rock piles for hares. All are provided for by God's generous goodness. And this is in full agreement with what Jesus said. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Well, when have you recently seen the creative goodness of the Lord? Was it in the affection you received from a pet, or from the pleasure you gave and received by sharing a glass of wine with another, or by the energy you got from a bowl of stew when you most needed it? Was it the taste of onions and a clove of garlic sautéed in butter when you added in cream and herbs to make a delicious sauce? These are ways to join in what yet another psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you tasted that creative goodness of the Lord, did you let it take you to the praise of the Creator, who is good? The writer is next here taken by the joyous wisdom of the Lord. Think of verses 24 through 26 in terms of what we know today about the seas compared with what the writer could have known. The writer wrote, "O Lord, you are manifold. How manifold are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. And yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it." I doubt the writer even had a snorkel. Perhaps she or he was a pretty good free diver. There's a video I wish I could show you, but I cannot for copyright reasons. But it was taken by the son of a friend of my wife's, who is a free diver. And in this video, he is free diving under the ice for a very long time. And he overdubs with this video his own testimony of coming to faith in the one who made all of that. Well, you don't have to learn to be a free diver or even a scuba diver, because even then you would only go down 40 feet or so. Today we have these nature shows, these amazing shows that take us to the crushing open ocean depths to see the creatures that God has placed there, creatures that he seems to allude to in this psalm that would be otherwise unimaginable if we hadn't seen those things. And there they are, creeping along the ocean floor. And there's even in this psalm the reference to the ancient feared sea creature, Leviathan, made out to be sporting in some ocean playground. As the writer of Proverbs said, "When God drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the fountains of the deep, then I, wisdom, was right there by his side like a master worker. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always." And amazing that we live in an age where we can see these delights on our TVs that have been so long reserved only for God himself. Well, when have you recently seen the creative wisdom of the Lord? Was it in the superabundance of life that comes in the springtime and it's about to come to us again? Or the rejuvenation that occurs unseen in your frozen garden? Was it in the love of a pet or the joy that comes from receiving or giving a bouquet of fresh flowers? Or was it simply knowing without the shadow of a doubt that even in the darkest hour of the night, the sun was soon to rise again? And when you saw the creative wisdom of the Lord, did you let it take you to a place of praise to the Creator who is wise? All of these works of God are meant to cause us to rejoice in God with the psalm. St. Basil says, "I want creation to penetrate you so much with admiration that wherever you go, the least plant may bring you a clear remembrance of the Creator. One blade of grass or one speck of dust is enough to occupy your entire mind in beholding the art with which it has been made." Okay, St. Basil was obviously more devout and observant than I, for I've never let the thought of God occupy my mind by contemplating a speck of dust. But you get the idea of what he is saying. And it brings us to the writer's main point, which is in verses 27 through 30. The writer has been saying all along that God was no one-time creator. No, he is creator, provider, and sustainer. And that is what our Heidelberg Catechism refers to Psalm 104 several times. It's a favorite of the Heidelberg Catechism, looking to God, the God of providence. God loves his creation too much to leave it to chance. The springs still flow, the plants still grow, the animals still eat and drink, and humans still do their work and enjoy their lives. And God is there throughout. And the writer in these verses points out that all of them, all the creatures, wild and domesticated, tiny birds and giant sea creatures, lions seeking their prey, they all look to God to give them their food. We read in verse 27, "They all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. And when you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. And when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." They all look to God, and so should we. God opens his hand. He gives. We gather. We are filled. There are times of overflowing, and there are times of scarcity for reasons that belong to God alone. And even in the times of living and dying here are seen to be in God's goodness and wisdom. For a time comes when the breath of life is taken away from a creature. But this too is in the context of God's ongoing work of caring, recreating, renewing the face of the earth. As some of you may know, breath and spirit are the same Hebrew word. We may therefore read these verses 29 and 30 as, when you take the spirit breath from creation, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit breath, they're created and you renew the face of the ground. Because our very lives reveal God's life, his breath in us. Take a breath. Take a moment just to breathe and know that God's life is in you as you breathe. Well, Psalm 104 offers an interesting complement to the verses from Colossians that we read at the opening of our service. That verse which speaks so magnificently of Jesus Christ, making the bold proclamation, all things have been created through Jesus Christ and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus might have been behind the page in Psalm 104, but now he is revealed to be present and active in all of his creation, our sustainer. Well, spring will be here before we know it, and life will return to the ground. And who can explain how a dry bulb in a frozen ground will be able to produce a tulip? Who can say how that 1-inch circle of eggs, which has been on my fence post for more than half a year, will wake up in the spring to become thousands of gypsy moth caterpillars? And who can say how God's life-giving breath spirit enters into the innumerable animals which will again be born this spring? A hymn I grew up with says, secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though man may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. The point of this sermon is not to offer possible explanations about the mystery of life, or explain creation versus evolution, or examine the differences of our souls versus animal spirits. Those are all worth exploring, but not for now. For now, we just want to join the psalmist in marveling at and celebrating with the power, beauty, goodness, and joyous wisdom of nature, and join the Lord himself, as he says in this psalm, in rejoicing in all of his works. And what a beautiful picture that God himself rejoices in these things that we have talked about. And God would be pleased if you would join him, returning praise to him. Thus the climax of this psalm in verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And that would be a fitting response for us as well. And you can do that today. You can rejoice in the works of God which he has already brought into your life. You can rejoice in the contemplation of a flower or in the frolicking of a pet. You can rejoice in the sip of that taste of wine or a morsel of really, really good bread or the feeling of soothing oil on your face. You can rejoice in a series of long, deep breaths and just appreciate the fact that you are alive. And again, breathing in, breathing out, and your body is cleansed and refreshed and renewed. There's another passage that I like in the Old Testament with similar language to this one, which also speaks of God's ongoing creation. That is Isaiah 41. Let me just read to you verses 17 through 20. When the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set in the desert the cypress, the plane, and the pine together, so that all may see and know and all may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, the Holy One of Israel has created it. And the promise of the Lord is to refresh weary souls, provide water to thirsty lives, Just as God originally created the wonders of nature, so he again wants to open up streams of living water to those who thirst for him, turning desert lives into lives of flourishing, that all may consider and understand that this miracle is a creation of God, the Holy One. Returning then to Psalm 104, there's one other verse that perhaps we would prefer not to include, yet need to mention, and that is the first half of verse 35. It seems that the psalmist has surveyed creation and said, "It is amazing, it is stunning, it is beautiful, but the picture is spoiled by sin." You know, I can go for a walk in the woods or in a field and really being enjoying it, and then all of a sudden I'm not enjoying it because somebody has left some garbage there. Suddenly I miss the forest for the trash. So it is with the psalmist. So the psalmist comes out with a statement that perhaps we would not say or we would not pray with the psalmist. "Let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more. Don't let them spoil your beautiful painting, Lord." Yet God did not say yes to that request, for he had yet to reveal the fullness of his plan for dealing with sin and sinners. And thankfully for us, that plan includes sinners like us. Well, Psalm 104 is amazing in just how completely the writer was given over to praise at the witness of creation. And we join in this. And in just a moment, we'll share the Lord's Supper, which is our opportunity to praise God for his greatest work. And that, of course, being what Jesus has done for us on the cross, dealing decisively with that problem of sin. So as we wrap this up, look again at verse 30, which says, "When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." And that verse reminds me of one other place in the Bible where those two words, create and renew, appear together. It's in the psalm of the prayer of the psalm 51, verse 10. And you know it. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." It goes on to say, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." You do not have to wait until spring comes to feel again God's life-giving spirit breath. It is available to us every day. God wants to continue his creative work in your life. God wants to renew your life, your spirit, with his spirit breath. Will you allow him to do so? Will you pray this prayer with the psalmist? "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Breathe in God's new life. Will you stand, please? We'll sing a song of response.
Sweetly in the tree. sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
My privilege to lead you in congregational prayer. Shall we bow our heads? Thank you, God, for nourishing us with food unto eternal life through the living bread, Jesus, your Son. We thank you for strengthening our faith, emboldening our hope, and with your love, kindling the flame of love in our hearts. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. You, the great creator of all that exists. You who through your Son playfully made the heavens and the earth and daily sustain all that you made. Our magnificent God of whom the psalmist sang, may the glory of the Lord continue forever. And let all that I am praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for reclaiming your wonderful creation in Christ, for remaking, reshaping us through the miracle of death and resurrection, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for creation and recreation, for birth and rebirth. We approach you again with confidence this morning, knowing that nothing is impossible for you. You who are worthy of all praise, you who also know your children by name, and in all the needs of their daily lives, as well as the needs of the world they live in. In our own community of faith, we especially remember this morning before you our brother Dirk, our sisters Alice and Sybil, as well as Tineke. Lord, grant your presence and grace to them this week as they face health issues, medical procedures. May they experience your nearness and the surrounding power of the prayers of your people. We pray for those whose needs are known perhaps only to themselves, whose struggles may be hid from us, but not from you, Lord. Lord, hear their voices. We pray for our leaders, for our pastor Mark, for our elders and deacons. Give them wisdom and joy in their work. We remember this week the ongoing Coffee Break program, as well as the newly started Youth Alpha program. Lord, may that turn into an exciting exploration of faith. We pray for the larger Christian community as well, especially the Church of Christ as it faces hardship and persecution. Among others, we think this morning of brothers and sisters in Nigeria, in India, in Morocco, where a man called Mustafa is seeking life's answers in Christ. Lord, touch his heart. Grant him your grace. Father, strengthen the church universal. May its witness be a signpost to the hope that is found in Jesus. And then, Lord, we also pray for an increasingly fractured world where people have a hard time understanding each other and where many seek to mislead, misinform, and sow seeds of violence. We pray for peace between the Ukraine and Russia, for all the people of that region. In your mercy, restrain the hounds of war. Bring peace. We pray for our own people in North America, where COVID protests and disturbances reflect disturbed and unsettled lives. So much wisdom is needed to find our way through, Lord. Grant your mercy, grant wisdom to those in leadership, so that people may begin to hear each other again and find a way of peace. Lord, in all these things and more, we ask that your will be done and your gospel find an entrance into people's hearts. May your kingdom come, and may we be more and more faithful followers of our King, the Prince of Peace. In his name, and in the assurance of being heard, we pray. Amen. Church, as you know, we have the custom of giving two offerings, one for the work of the local church and one for a special cause. We received this little note this week that Pastor Mark gave to me that I'd like to read to you. It says, it's addressed to you, "Dear members of fellowship, we are grateful for your support to Toronto District Christian High School. Many of you have been faithful supporters and prayers for years. May God bless you in your ministry also. With thanks, William Groot, Principal." So it comes as no surprise when I tell you that our second offering is for Toronto District Christian High School. And many of you contribute online. This morning also, we won't pass a plate. There is a plate in the foyer where you may give your gifts as well. May God bless you in your giving.
I invite you to rise for our final blessing and the song which follows. This blessing comes from another psalm, Psalm 115. "The Lord has been mindful of us, and he will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and small. And may you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Go in his peace."
Obedience.
waves of the ocean proclaim him divine. We too should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration, a song that us raise till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest. Hosanna.